This is Tom Browning.
This is Pat Lackey.
This is Raquel Aurelia.
My name is Kurt Evans.
This is Rich Aurelia.
Hi, hello, and welcome, everybody. This is George Grant of the Cincinnati Reds, and welcome. You're listening to the Red Hot Broadcast on RedHotMama.com.
Welcome, baseball fans. You're listening to the Red Hot Broadcast, as George Grant just told you. On red-hot-mama.com, this is
But he
episode.
Didn't say the dashes.
He didn't say the dashes. That's why I feel like I need to reiterate.
Yeah. See, the last one I listened to, because I don't listen to all of them, and I like heard George Grant do the intro, and then immediately after that, it was you saying almost word for word. I'm like, whoa, that sounds a little
we
weird.
We don't listen to the intro when I do the... It's just like...
I know. I need to start...
It's so comforting to me to say the exact same thing to start every podcast. It's like... Well, I know where I'm starting at least. And then it goes crazy from there. Speaking of, this is episode number 99.
Oh, did I derail you already?
On April 30th of 2008. This week on the podcast. The last one in this double digits, by the way.
Wow.
I know, it's crazy,
That's
isn't
big.
It? I know.
We have to plan absolutely nothing for 100.
How much? Actually, we kind of have plans for episode 100.
Maybe.
Kind of?
That's a tangential. It's not really anything.
Well, you don't think we should talk about it?
No.
I think we should talk about it. Okay, well, we'll talk about it when the time comes.
Never talk about anything until it's done in the can, up on the big screen.
Well, there you go.
What?
Once it's in the can and it's up on the big screen, we'll be telling you guys about the exciting new development that's coming from Reds Country, scheduled for Monday. In the meantime, this week... We're just blabbering a little bit here while we introduce a program that we actually recorded while we were in Houston on spring break.
Yes.
This is really old now because we recorded it about 3 weeks ago with the guys from the Astrocast while in their studio.
Yeah.
And they've long since posted this joint podcast on their site, but I kind of bet that we have slightly different audiences. So this is still going to be new. To the Red Hot Broadcast audience, and you'll just listen to us kind of shooting the breeze with the guys, Lambo and Skatkar from the Astrocast. So shall we get right to that?
Yeah, let's do it. It's a little bit long. It's an hour. Usually we go for the 20 to 30 minutes.
Hey, that's what she said. It's a little bit longer. No,
it's twice as long as you're used to.
Well, that's pretty long.
Alrighty then.
Usually our programs are weekly and about 20 to 30 minutes. These guys do their podcast twice a month and do an hour at a time.
Yeah.
And in fact, they told us that they had to start cutting it down from longer than that. Again, what she said.
Right.
So shall we quit talking and get down to it? And so without further ado, the Red Hot Broadcast meets the Astrocast.
Welcome, baseball fans. We have a special treat for you tonight. You're listening to the Red Hot Cast or Astro Mama or whatever the hell we're going to be calling this tonight. And we got four people here on mic. So instead of doing massive introductions, let's just let everybody do a roll call. I am Lambo.
I am Skekar.
This is the Red Hot Mama.
See, I never introduced myself. What's my name?
And with me is the crack technical staff. Welcome to the show, Johnny.
Thank you.
I'm cracktastical.
Cracktastical? The crack technical staff, who does all of our crack technical meets
Thank
all
you.
Of our crack technical needs.
I've got a reputation to uphold. Thank you for that.
Are we missing pop and crackle or
snap?
Snap. Pop and circumstance.
Welcome to the show, Johnny.
Hi, glad to be here. This is different.
Indeed.
Yes. We're only, what, admitted into the show? We've already derailed. Okay.
Yeah, well.
Were we on a rail to begin with? That is the bigger question.
We have a cargo of pumpkins, I believe.
No.
Ooh,
they are not pumpkins.
They should look like pumpkins.
Yeah, they do look like pumpkins, yes.
Yes.
Okay. Anyway, before we get for y'all listening, we got the crew from Red Hot Mama and Astrocast here together.
Yes,
for our first joint podcast.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Right. Well, welcome to Houston.
Why, thank you.
Mm-hmm. And y'all spent 2 days at Minute Maid Park. I hope y'all enjoyed our stadium.
We've really been enjoying the city. It's not so much the tourist destination that you might usually head to,
No, but especially not on spring break.
No, not too many people making their way out to Houston on spring break.
Spring break at Minute Maid. Woo!
Yeah. Girls in bikinis. I can see that already.
But we've enjoyed it. We've had a good time. We made it out to the Space Museum, and we made it out to the Children's Museum. And you can tell it's been pretty much a child-focused trip for us so far.
I wonder why.
Yeah.
That's why we're ditching him as soon as we get back.
Got to get some alone time.
Putting him back into the school system, huh?
Oh, God. Send him off to boarding school.
Right.
Anyway.
How about before we go on, let them talk about their show a little bit?
That was where I was going to go.
Okay.
You read my mind. Yeah. For those who are listening to Astrocast, who may not be familiar with Red Hot Mama, there is a very interesting podcast on the Cincinnati Reds. And one reason I would strongly recommend anybody listen to Astrocast to listen to these wonderful people is because they actually do a lot of in-depth stuff on the National League Central. So I'll go ahead and turn over to Amanda and Charlie.
Well, you know that that setup really makes it sound like it's a much more professional organization than it really is. Don't you think, Johnny?
I'm professional. What are you talking about?
Yeah, we do the Red Hot broadcast. We usually do it about once a week. We've been kind of off that track a little bit the last week, trying to get some of our previews for each of the NL Central teams going for this week.
Mind him playing with the knobs. Just ignore him, okay? Like I said, he has a knob fetish.
Yeah, he's playing with the knobs.
Yes, I'm playing with the knobs.
But usually we do the podcast once a week, and we do it on Monday nights usually, and it goes up on Monday night if we have the energy to stay up that late and get it up, or if we get it up on Tuesday.
I can usually get it up on Monday,
but not Wednesdays.
The other days, that's not something everyone is privy to. No. The Red Hot broadcaster
usually worn out by work by then.
Worn out one way or the other. Yeah. The Red Hot broadcast started out as a Cincinnati Reds podcast, and of course we were the only Reds Cincinnati Reds podcast that was on the air.
Right.
There was a couple of other shows that included the Reds with other Cincinnati area Cincinnati area sports. Ken Brew did a show, and it seems like someone else did a Cincinnati area sports show, but no one else did the Reds. Of course, since then we've in protest of the Reds
sucking.
Well, there's that.
Okay.
But, you know, if we were going to protest the sucking, we would probably stretch beyond the NL Central, which is where we've gone to.
Oh, sure.
It's actually in protest of the Reds bringing on Dusty Baker sight unseen. Because they promised they were doing a full-on manager search, and then they just, hired the first person with major league experience that stumbled through the door.
Who just was right next door to you guys.
Huh? Oh, yes.
Yeah. So said, okay. I'm not a big Dusty Baker guy. And
definitely not a big Cubs fan.
Yeah, definitely not a Cubs fan either. But you know, Baker does have a reputation of being a really good manager. But I personally think I would never want to see him in an Astros uniform.
You know, my take on the Dusty Baker having a reputation as a good manager is kind of goes like this. Dusty Baker may have once been a good manager, but consider your own job. If someone was considered once a good person in your own job, but had done the sort of performance that Dusty Baker did with the Cubs for the last 3 years, would you still think they were any good at it? You know, I do technical documentation. Somebody had for the last 3 years been writing the crap that would be the equivalent of Dusty Baker's performance in Chicago, we'd be like, yeah, okay, you're going to have to find a different profession.
Right.
The fact that you once wrote an award-winning manual, no longer going to carry you anywhere.
Right.
So in any event.
And he does have a reputation of being good with veterans.
Right.
And that was great for San Francisco back when they had all veterans, but the Reds seem to be going with the youth movement, and it doesn't seem like he's the best choice for young pitchers in particular.
have you seen a disconnect? Or, I mean, he's unable to communicate properly. Have you seen him?
So far, so good, but the season's still young.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, and you know, it really wasn't about the particular choice that they made. It was just the fact that they promised they were going to do this really extensive manager search. They're really going to find the right guy. And then, no joke, it was like, you know, like the next week.
Yeah, they'd promised the interim manager an interview.
He never got that.
They'd promised an exhaustive search. That never happened. It was, yeah, we've been talking to Dusty Baker for the last 2 weeks. He's our manager now.
And so it was a situation where it was like, I was already, you know, as Johnny mentioned,
frustrated with the sucking.
Right. This and is then, beat on Johnny night, yes.
Well, no, he was frustrated with...
It's not mine. No,
Johnny,
never mind.
No, Johnny does great. It was with the Reds suckitude, and then the failure to fulfill on their promise about the with the manager, and I'm like, you know what, we got to do something. Let's expand the scope of Red Hot Mama and make it and Red Hot Mama and the Red Hot broadcast and make it cover all of the NL Central. It's our way of kind of trying to stick true to where we started, but at the same time have a little bit of protest there, and you know, right. Maybe ideally expand the audience of the site by sixfold.
That would be great.
Okay, and for those who are listening to this podcast via the Red Hot Mama feed, I'm Lambo, which, matter of fact, I was on your show, two weeks ago or something like that?
Mm-hmm, giving us the Astros preview.
Yeah, and my co-host, Scott Carr.
Hello.
We do Astrocast say that fast three times. Boy, how much have I been drinking tonight? Let's see, one margarita, three beers. Okay, I think I got there. I'm good now. Anyway.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I'm just gonna let you keep talking.
But we're an Astros fan podcast and blog.
Yes.
And if you kind of want to know what's going on with the Astros, you can listen to us. So,
yeah.
You have anything to add?
No, not really. You took care of the Skekar's crap completely.
Hey, I didn't give out the voice memo.
That's true. Yeah, that's my big job, right? Mention the website and give out the phone number.
Hey, we don't have the flush sound effect tonight. No. Yeah. Oh, well. Anyway. But anyway, welcome, everybody.
Yes.
And I guess one of the first topics I thought we'd do first is basically 10 days into the season. First impressions of our teams? I'll let you all go first.
I think that it's surprising to see the Astros get away from their excellent pitching-focused roots that they had, and then go towards instead the idea of great offense, which is, of course, as Reds fans, is something that we've seen the poor pitching, the strong offense we've seen all along for 10 years now. However, I might also point out that it hasn't exactly worked out for the Astros that way.
No.
And that the pitching is still turning out to be pretty good.
Right.
And that the offense is not so much.
Right.
I think we're cursed on offense.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is we are in an offensive park.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
It's a hitter's park.
It's a hitter's park.
That short porch is
Well, okay. When you all first came into the stadium and you saw that short porch to the left, the Crawford boxes, come on. What y'all's first thought was, hell, I can hit it there.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously.
It's only 315 to the Crawford boxes.
I mean, seriously, did y'all think, give me a bat, I could hit the ball there?
Well, you know, I can't even hit it out of the T-ball park, so.
Yeah, I think I got 200 tops.
I don't think I could throw it.
I might be able to throw it there.
Yeah.
We did the speed pitch. I top out at like 40 miles an hour. Just imagine if I was throwing that up there for strikes.
There you go.
It'd be like the Bugs Bunny cartoon. They'd swing like three times before they struck out on one pitch.
That's one out, right?
It'd be change up after change up.
Right. No, that's my fastball, baby. Right. That's it.
Yeah.
Oh, what was that Easy Money movie or whatever with Richard Pryor and John Candy? It was like they had the game with the Yankees and Pryor throws the ball. Was this his change up? Oh, no, that was his fastball.
Wow.
So, I think you guys actually got out of the gate pretty good. I mean, I have to be honest, I haven't been like reading really on top of it. I mean,
you mean us as
the Reds,
the Red Hot broadcast, or us as in the Reds?
Well, the Cincinnati Reds.
Yeah, no, they've been doing all right. They're not top in the division actually. The Brewers and the Cardinals, shock of all shocks, have been topping the division, but the Reds have been doing not horrible.
Right, lots of great starts from their young pitching. And they've been pulled before 100 pitches. So
yeah.
Which is shocking considering Dusty Baker's
reputation
for over pitching his young starters. But yeah, a couple of new starters that came in that have made their way into the rotation this season are Cueto.
Right. And he actually skipped AAA.
Wow.
Which is very unlike the Reds' plan. Usually it's like under the current general manager, it's A ball, double A ball, triple A ball for a year, then the majors. But now he completely skipped triple A with his excellent outing in the spring.
You mean your minor league players only spend 1 year in each minor league? Because ours are not allowed to play in the majors until they're like in the mid 30s.
Usually it's at least 1 year. I don't know what happened with Cueto.
Oops, yeah. Sorry, I came to the table. That was my fault, folks.
Apparently he's too short, so they figure, well, we'll ride him for as long as he's good.
Right,
5'11 being too short these days.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
Well, I guess I'm short then.
Yeah, I guess so.
And then Edinson Volquez being the other young guy whom they traded Joss Hamilton for. And he's been kicking butt so far, too. So.
Well, that's good. Because at the time, I thought that was a weird trade. Because I thought,
you know, what it was that the manager at the beginning of last season was Jerry Nairn, right? And Jerry Nairn's brother, what is his first name?
Johnny
Nairn was sort of Josh Hamilton's personal trainer and sponsor. Because, you know, Josh Hamilton had those drug and alcohol
problems.
Issues that were going on. And so when they fired Jerry Nairn, Josh Hamilton insisted that they keep his brother on, which of course would not be typical, right? If you're taking out a regime, you're going to take out obviously the manager's brother as well. But he stayed on for the remainder of the season, and then when the end of the season came, and the Reds were no longer willing to keep Johnny Nairn on staff, it became obvious that really they needed to move Hamilton in order to make it possible. And I believe that Johnny Nairn has signed on with the Rangers, that he can so that he can continue sponsoring.
Wow.
Hamilton and keep
really
him on
a
track.
Small price to pay considering Hamilton's just immense talent. He's
and potential.
Right.
Well, I was really happy that he cleaned up his act and everything seemed to be going well
it's
for him
incredible.
Last year.
If you read any of the stories about him, it's incredible that he lived.
Yeah.
The things he did to himself, the way the drugs that he did, and the you know fifths of vodka that or no fifths
just,
of Jack that
it
he
was
would
Jack,
drink.
Of course. The abuse
per day.
Was, it's crazy.
Wow.
Yeah.
As far as on the Astros side, it's I think I mentioned it on this broadcast. Yeah, I'm talking really good tonight. On the broadcast was that I think there's only four Astros remaining from the 2005 World Series.
Yeah, four or five.
That's
I forget.
A lot of
four.
Yeah,
and Tejada's been impressive since he's come up. My first impressions of the Astros so far is that. Even though our record kind of sucks right now, but I like what I'm seeing. I mean, they're in every game. It's just we can't seem to get that hit.
Right.
You know.
Well, going into the season, you know, a lot of people were having discussions about weak starting lineup. You know, who's going to be, you know, pitching team, who's going to be, you know, you got Roy. Who else do you have? The big surprise has been that they brought in a bunch of, you know, relievers and closers, and they're the ones that are actually losing the games for us right now. The starters are doing great. You know, Backy comes in, gives up one run, and then next thing you know, you get Valverde coming in, or you get Geary coming in, giving up that home run to Pujols, two home runs to Pujols, whatever happens, and they end up losing the game 2-1, 3-1, you know, 9-7. I mean,
well,
it's close games.
Better pitchers than him have given up home runs to Pujols. I mean, that's
what you get. It's ruined careers. Let's
well, you would think if there's been one organization that would learn not to pitch to Pujols, it would be the Houston Astros.
Exactly, right.
I mean, I'm sorry. I mean, Brad Lidge, anyone?
Yeah, you know, exactly. Yeah, so. But yeah, it's been a surprise. The hitting's coming along. They're starting to hit the ball a little better. If they can run a little smarter, you know, there's a couple games
on
the weekend.
Actually, no, we're doing great
stealing. Well, now we are, yeah. Well, stealing, we're fine, but just getting the people to score, you know, to come back around, or, you know, basically getting base hits. Actually, I think it was Carlos Lee who said we're depending too much on the long ball right now. We need to get base hits. And actually, he kind of did that over in the last couple games, was he's going to getting key base hits.
Yeah, so. In the two games we saw, I don't think there was a single Astros home run.
Right.
So
they're not depending too heavily on the long ball.
No.
No, not
anymore. Now.
Not now, right.
They're not getting the opportunity to.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's true. Right.
Oh, but Berkman just missed one yesterday and hit the wall.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can hit on line drive harder than that.
was that the double that he had that bounced off the bullpen wall?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I have a couple ideas for topics, and I thought since we're doing a joint podcast, let's try to get away from Astros and Reds talk and kind of have a little bit of fun for a moment. And
pure tree.
So I want to kind of pick on the St. Louis Cardinals for a moment.
Oh, always one of my favorite topics, picking on the St. Louis Cardinals.
Right.
And a moment ago, we were talking about Dusty Baker, about his reputation. Instead of Dusty Baker, Tony La Russa. And since we've been playing the Cardinals, well, as in the Astros, we've been playing the Cardinals the last three nights. And, you know, Tony La Russa is doing his little thing of, I'm going to hit my pitcher in the eighth slot. Mm-hmm.
It's sweeping the NL Central.
Yeah, I know.
The Brewers are doing that too now.
Oh, they are?
Whenever Jason Kendall, the catcher, starts,
he
bats ninth and the pitcher bats eighth.
Wow.
Okay, well, I wasn't aware of that.
You know, LaRusso had Marquise as a pitcher, who was a pretty decent hitter.
That was the only thing he was good at, I think.
Wasn't pitching.
As a pitcher. We were actually at a game where he was pinch hit with. So.
Yeah.
Not four.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, I guess my question is, do y'all think that Tony La Russa deserves the reputation he's had, that he has as the premier manager?
Dusty Baker. That was the rumor, of course, in Cincinnati, was that because the Reds ownership has roots in St. Louis, that there would be some possibility of trying to lure La Russa away, especially because he was in a contract year, and maybe luring him away and bringing him to Cincinnati. And that was, of course, the hope. And then they end up with Dusty Baker. And
well, they did end up with the Walt Jocketty, the Cardinals' former GM, as like this, I don't know, it's this nebulous made-up position that's kind of overseeing the current Reds GM. So it's
sort of the threat to the current GM. Like,
don't you screw up again.
Get your act together. Don't trade Austin Kearns to the Nats ever again, kind of a thing. but you know, I think that La Russa has the, we were talking yesterday about, you know, he wears the sunglasses.
Right.
The sunglasses.
So no one can see where he's looking.
Because he doesn't like people to see his eyes, I guess. But it looks ridiculous, especially at night games. But it looked especially ridiculous last night when the roof was closed.
Like, maybe there was a glare.
Yeah. In the dugout.
But then, you know, in addition to the, in addition to the glasses, we were noticing he wears extremely tight pants.
Very tight pants.
So I wonder.
But it's actually, in a weird sort of way, that was going to be my next topic, but I'll get to that later.
So if you want to see old white guys' legs,
yeah, because
very clearly, you know, just watch Tony La Russa in one of his many trips to the mound.
It's like a it's hard to imagine how he inspires confidence, but nevertheless, you can't help but look and see that he's had success
everywhere, so all the time.
And it's not Dusty Baker kind of success that was like back at the beginning of his career, you know, two teams ago. It was like, it's like, man, the Cardinals can't seem to figure out how to lose.
Right.
Despite the fact that, man, they really ought to be losing like crazy right now, shouldn't they?
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
So, one of the reasons I bring that up is because it seems like every once in a while I get the impression that Tony La Russa does something to say, hey, look at me, I'm the brightest manager in baseball, so I'm going to do all these integrated moves to prove, hey, how smart I am. Because I remember about 3 years ago, there was a start, the Cardinals were here playing a Minute Maid, and Roy O was pitching. And Roy likes to pitch fast. I mean, he just gets the ball, guns it. He had all the Cardinals, like, stop, take their time between pitches, step out of the batter's box, take his time, take a few extra swings, just to slow Roy down. And I've always, it was coming from La Russa. I think it was actually one point where I forget who the third baseman was at the time or something, kind of yelled something towards the Cardinals' dugout for that, because I mean they were purposely trying to slow Roy down. I'm like, and that was right from La Russa. Mm-hmm. So it just seems like
that seemed like he's pretty smart. That sort of stuff. That sort of stuff is it does seem like it's pretty bright. It's the pitching. It's the batting the pitcher eighth. It's the five infielder maneuver. It's all of the suicide squeezes that stuff. It's like,
well, that was the other thing. He did that suicide squeeze of the second inning, which is
right.
If you go to conventional baseball wisdom, you don't do suicide squeeze second inning. I mean,
I guess he took him by surprise.
Yeah.
But yeah, it just seems, it's like those crazier maneuvers that seems like it's he wins in spite of them.
Right.
Any thoughts, Scott?
Nope. None whatsoever.
Well, at least he's being blunt honest, folks. And since you mentioned Tony La Russa's pants,
yes,
I was sitting at the game last night, and I thought, oh, God. You know, and I got to thinking, I know it's the long-standing tradition in baseball where you have the managers and the coaching staff wear the baseball uniforms.
Mm-hmm. And you never know when Lucius is going to need to get out on the field.
Right.
Pick up a glove. Go out to shortstop.
But then I go back to thinking, you know, when Lasorda was managing for the Dodgers. I mean, that was... I mean, seriously. Do we need to see that? Should we maybe rethink this? Maybe where we can have, like,
the managers wear more normal attire like they do in football or basketball? They have to be in a baseball uniform?
Well, in the other sports, you know, the coaches never go onto the field like they do in baseball.
That's true. Right. That is true.
I might point out, though, that if you were to have these guys in their typical attire, it would be like khaki shorts and black socks pulled up to their knees and wingtips. Yeah. And
maybe some penny loafers here and there.
Yeah. Maybe sandals.
Oh.
Could be
with black socks.
Could be with black socks. Could be just open toed with no socks. And either way, it's bad news.
I can clearly see some managers pulling out the Hawaiian shirt. So
it could be the Hawaiian shirt. Because I mean, it's not like in football where they can put on the sweater or the blazer or something like that. They'd be sweating to death. They can't really wear a suit out there either.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's true.
You might be in for worse trouble if you're to take them out of the uniform. Tank tops.
Oh, that would be real.
A good wife beater.
A nice,
oh, God, yeah.
Your gunner shirt. Or topless.
Yeah. As long as there's some bling there, you know, Mr. T-like.
That could be the other thing. They could go all ghetto on you, you know, the bling and the pimp hat with the feather. Yeah.
I'd like to see LaRusse hit a pimp hat with the feather. Oh. If there's any Cardinals fans out there who can make that happen.
Right.
I've got an Astros season calendar up for it.
Hey, I'm sure you can make a walking stick with a baseball on top, you know, kind of walks out there.
Badass. You know. One of those. Good game.
Yes, we've lost control. Oh, because of me.
All because of Scat Car. Just blame it on Scat Car.
That's right.
Sounds like a movie title there. Yeah. But get the porn music going.
Yeah, right.
It's a completely different kind of
thing. Yeah. No.
You can change blame in that title to shoot, I don't know.
Yeah. So,
okay. My next question is, if you could change one rule in baseball, what would it be?
Well, that's a tough one. I don't really think about the rules much.
We live outside the rules.
That's right. Outside the juice box.
Yes.
We think outside the juice box. That's right.
No steel pumpkins for you.
That is a shame, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because it's really good pumpkin farming weather where we're from.
So you're the one who sends us the pumpkins every season.
They come from Cincinnati Reds fans.
Okay. That's right. Yeah. They fill them up in the beginning of the season, but at the end of the year, they're all stale.
You know, like the infield fly?
No, that's
fine. I like the infield fly rule.
It's called rarely anyway. I don't know. Rules seem all right for now.
Remember that rule they had where there was... if the game was called after the fifth inning for rain, what was that?
No, it was before the fifth, because after the fifth it's official. It was like if it were in the third or fourth or whatever, and it was called, you had to restart the game.
Restart the game from beginning, right?
Yeah.
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 Mm-hmm.
And they did.
That one kind of sucks.
That one did suck, and they finally did away with that, so they just resumed it.
I mean, like the Cardinals had to replay their opening day game this
season. That's true.
So they couldn't have completely done away with it.
Yeah.
And then they lost a Pujols homer and stuff like that. That would have
been because God's a Rockies fan.
Well, without a doubt. Everybody knows that God is on the Rockies side. I mean, last season showed that, without a doubt.
And they won the official opener, so mm-hmm. obviously. It's the only conclusion to draw.
I don't know. I can't think of any rules that come to mind that need to be changed or gotten rid of.
We were talking about the rule last night where after one manager goes out to the mound, apparently after the second visit you have to change it. Now, we're under the impression that it was one visit per manager. Like, you could send your manager out and you could send your pitching coach out, but no, it has to actually, could send your bench coach out. Maybe they should wiggle that around, you know, make it so you could send your bench coach out, your bullpen catcher.
that would just extend the game.
Yeah.
The dugout attendant. The kid who fills up the bubble gum containers.
Hey, how about the actual owner?
The owner out there. You send the owner out there, you know that's business.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah. Oh my God, it's Castellini.
Right. I'm trying to think of some rules that have come up, at least this season, that I mean, I can't think of any... Any rules?
Time to do away with that three strike thing, man.
Yeah, right. Exactly right.
And what's up with the dropped fourth? Well, third actually, strike,
one reason I kind of brought this up is this is kind of I brought it up as kind of a curveball at y'all a little bit, because one of the things I was thinking about recently is how so much about baseball just seems to be naturally designed perfectly. For example, if the base was 91 feet, that would totally screw with all the batting averages too. Or if it was like 89 feet. Or what if the pitcher mound was 70 feet? I mean, all these little things just seem like altogether just what makes baseball what it is.
This is deep, man. This is like an episode of Sliders. they slid into a dimension where the good guys pass.
And although that's right. We're recording this episode yesterday. You know that, right?
Okay, my next one. Your favorite stadium that you have visited and your worst favorite stadium.
If you don't limit it to major league regular season ballparks, the worst would have to be the previous Cleveland Indians spring training field.
Down in Florida?
Oh, yes. If you're including, the thing is that we haven't actually been to all that many stadiums. We've only started the blog in 2000, and doesn't sound like much of an excuse. But it's sort of our goal this year to make it to all of the NL Central stadiums.
The ones we haven't been to before.
To the ones we haven't been to. And so we've been to, we were to Great American, of course, and we've been to Riverfront prior to that in Cincinnati. Right. We've been to Busch, the most recent Busch, and we've been to now the Minute Maid. We've been to RFK. No longer being used.
Right.
And the Astros. No, not the Astros. The Braves.
Right.
Obviously, Turner the Astros. Field. I already said that, but Turner Field. Right. But we've been to several spring training facilities. Ed Smith facility is where the Reds train in Sarasota, Florida.
Okay.
It's a nice little stadium. It's not the fanciest one you've ever been to.
It's old. Toilets stopped working this year, so that was bad.
Oh. Oops.
And they've actually the Reds have just announced that it's official. They are moving to Arizona after next year.
Wow.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. So after next year is our last year going down to Sarasota, Florida, and we'll be going out to, what is it?
Goodyear.
Goodyear, Arizona.
I assume there'll be a lot of tires.
One would presume.
And a blimp.
Or a lot of flow. Yeah, a lot of blimp.
Survive in the Arizona heat. They might just burst into flames.
It's helium. It's helium. Not the Hindenburg.
Nevertheless, it's very hot.
Do they have propellers that can...
If you go down to Florida and you visit the spring training stadiums, especially on the west coast of Florida, the Phillies have the most fantastic spring training stadium you've ever seen. It's got all the intimacy of the spring training facility, but it's just got all the bells and whistles of the big league park, and they've got all the fancy beers that you could want, and they've got a big playground where the
kids can
play.
Tiki bar.
Wow.
Tiki
bar. Nice.
The players hang around after colada. The game, and they mingle among the fans after the game if you stay there, and they have concerts there, and I mean, it's just really nice. Whereas, where the Cleveland Indians used to practice.
I believe this year was their last year there.
Oh, yeah.
Next year they start in Goodyear.
Previous to the Indians, the Red Sox were there, and this was in Winter Haven, Florida. And it was probably a nice stadium when the Red Sox built it in there, but then they left, and then they kind of took with them all of the hope and joy that came with them to the city. So it was kind of a desolate, dark place, and there was no Indians fans there, and the stadium was really ancient and old. So it was really not a very positive experience, and it was like the one place I got attacked by mosquitoes that entire trip. But as far as major league parks go, RFK, man, that place is kind of a dump.
Yeah.
Thankfully, they've got a new park there.
Right.
I guess I'm kind of partial to Great American there. I do enjoy the park there.
There's a lot of nice things there.
I'm really looking forward to heading up to Wrigley Field, though I don't expect it to be a quality ballpark. I expect it to be a baseball experience.
It's only there because of its name and its history. I mean, other than that, that place is a dump. I mean, it is bad.
Yeah, that was what I was about to. That was going to be my worst. I was really disappointed in Wrigley myself when I went there. Yeah,
I mean, just the atmosphere of getting there, looking from the outside, you're like, oh, Wrigley, and you get in there, and it's always sold out. It looks nice from they got the little whatever outfield seats, and then they got the actual balcony, whatever the buildings across the street will have the balcony on there. Yeah, other than that, though, for a ballpark to have its facilities that you expect, It's not so much.
I've heard great things about PNC. I'm looking forward to seeing PNC.
I haven't been there yet. Yeah.
I haven't been there. I did go to Old Three Rivers Stadium.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, nobody played baseball back then, but I've heard great things about their park as well. I would love to see that one as well. Probably a bit partial, but I really love Minute Maid, but I also realize I'm not being totally fair because all the other ballparks that I visited were the ones built, the cookie cutter ones that were built in the 70s, like the Reds and Three Rivers and the old Veterans Stadium that Philadelphia played in. And of course the Astrodome. Right. So
I thought Busch Stadium was a little cookie cutter, obviously not in the 70s cookie that we're talking about before, more in the modern era, the cookie cutter, a little bit, I thought it was a little bit generic. Of course, the major hit that the Minute Maid Park takes is the lack of cup holders.
Right. In both of the sections.
I thought there were cup holders in front of you, right?
Not in the sections we were sitting in. I understand there are
cup holders. One thing we were talking about last night because I was in the field box and I had a cup holder.
Right.
So. Once you get into the 200, 300, 400 level,
No cup holders. Which really? Wouldn't be so bad for me, but it's bad with a 6-year-old because you know he's shelling peanuts and he's getting peanut shells in his drink and he's kicking things over. And it's just you need a cup holder. But what they do get bonus points for is having straws, which for some reason have been very much absent from every other park.
They're verboten at all other parks, I think. It's this is illegal contraband. Straws. You can't have a straw. You can suck with that.
Another weird thing that goes with
it is a terrorist item.
I don't know if you actually got bottled water or not, but if you buy bottled water, the rule is they have to take the top off if they give it to you and keep the top. Because they don't want you to put other stuff in there and, you know, cover it back up. That's the, I was like, what am I going to do? It's just a top. It's like, no, we have to open it up before we hand you the bottle. And then it's all yours. So it's one of those weird things.
We got to keep the lid on ours. But then again, also point out that they forgot to charge us for it. I tried to bring it up. We were at the concession line and I was like, totally ignored me.
Right.
I talked to the hand moment, you know.
It was like I didn't exist. I don't think you got my water.
Whatever.
Okay, then, free water.
Yeah. Well, Uncle Drayton is screaming right now.
Right.
It's sort of crazy to think that they're charging $4 for water anyway, but, you know.
Yeah, I know. Right.
All right. Anyway, next one. with the exception of the teams that we root for, your favorite Major League Baseball uniform.
Major League Baseball uniform. It's sort of hard for them to stand out, isn't it? I do like the old Astros uniform with the big stripes.
The old 70s, early 80s. Yeah, that's one of my favorites. Yeah.
I've always been fond of the Brewers old one that had the M and the B looking like a glove.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's pretty nice.
We were talking about that earlier. Yeah.
The Phillies one with the ball in it, too, I also liked. I guess I like baseballs in the logo.
We got to be coming back around to that look, don't we, at some point? It seems like it's going to be getting retro.
Yeah.
It looks so
cool. But right now, three, four teams in the Central use red as their predominant color. It's like,
all right.
Are clicking through. It's like, which team is that? I can't tell just from a glance.
Right.
Well, you know,
the
overabundance
of red is a bit weak.
Watching the Astros versus the Cardinals, I was having a hard time telling which team was which, and I did cheer for the wrong team, I think twice, because you know neither of them is the Reds, and
they're both wrong then.
The whole idea of like home versus away uniforms wasn't really resonating with me, and so I'm just seeing red and white, and then. Oh yeah, getting confused. Well, of course, I've seen the Cardinals at home like 4 or 5 times now, and then only seeing the Astros at home for the first time was sort of confusing.
Well, if you saw them on Sunday, they actually have different Sunday uniforms than their everyday home uniforms.
Oh really? What are
they? Yeah, they're the solid red,
burnt
red shirt. Yeah.
That's what the Reds wear on their Sunday
with
home
black
uniforms.
Sleeves or whatever. Yeah.
Well, it's kind of funny. One of my favorites and one of my least favorites happen to be both on the same team. I really like the Pirates gray uniforms when it says Pirates across the chest, and I really like those uniforms. But you go back in the late 70s when they were in the whole yellow banana thing. Oh, that was scary.
Yeah, it was bright yellow.
Yeah, the bright yellow.
Yellow and black.
Yeah, up top with the black hat.
Yeah.
That was truly scary.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's nice that the Pirates are sticking with the sleeveless jersey look.
That's right. They're holding on to that beyond anyone else. Everyone else has given it up, but they're still clinging to it.
Yeah. It's worked for them.
They want to be different.
just look how well they've done.
Yeah, that's right. They're only a few years behind everyone else. It's okay.
Maybe they're afraid they'll win. Right.
Yeah. I know what would happen.
Right. That's apocalypse? Right. They're holding their own against the Cubs. Taking them to extra innings 2 out of 3 times.
That's right.
Oh my gosh, the Pirates and their extra innings games this season. Holy mm-hmm. cow! By the time this, if they keep up this, they're going to have played a season and a half by the time the season is done. Right. They're going to be exhausted.
Well, I mean, you know, they're not going to make the postseason anyways. So they got to get their, you know, games.
Do they get points? Like, does their number of like home runs and their number of stolen bases and stuff
still counts? Yeah.
Still same, counts. Right? Yeah, even doesn't matter.
Played like way more innings than everyone else. Yeah. No, but of course, that being the case, they're not getting any more home runs. Right. Or stolen bases,
so. That's why they're in the extra innings.
That's, yeah. Right. So it's all good.
Oh God. Okay, a stadium that you have not seen that you want to see.
All of them that we haven't been to, pretty much. I mean,
yeah, Wrigley will be a good thing to see, though. Wrigley. Like I said, I don't anticipate it actually being a good fun baseball experience. I anticipate it being a good history experience.
The Brewers Park. I've heard there are good things about their multi-person beer bong outside. Yeah.
Miller Park is pretty nice. Yeah.
I just don't know how the heck we're going to get up to Milwaukee. I know these Texas folks.
You can swim across Lake Michigan if you want.
The drive doesn't seem like that much, I imagine, to people whose state is as big as the...
Half the Union.
The Midwest entirely, but yeah. It seems like it's going to be a hassle to get up there, but we'll make it up there at some point.
It's a pretty nice stadium. It's one of the different, you know, it's got the, you know, most roofs are like one way. They kind of open up and close. It's got the middle frame in it. Mm-hmm. It opens up like a butterfly, kind of.
Yeah.
So it's kind of different. Aww. Yeah. Aww. At least that's what I remember. Yeah.
So, yeah, I look forward to seeing that. Yeah. That'll be nice. It's, you know, until we really started the blog, we really didn't follow many sports, didn't go to very many venues, didn't do that much. It's really, really all of them are just such an experience and such a new thing to, new and interesting thing to do with our lives.
Yeah. For me, we talked about the Pittsburgh Stadium. I would love to see that one. I agree with y'all about Milwaukee, but I really wanted to see San Francisco's. Which, whatever company is sponsoring the name of it this year.
I think it's AT&T lowercase now.
It's AT&T now? Okay. I just...
Because it was SBC, 3Com.
Right. And I hear it's just very, very gorgeous being right on the bay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You can see into the bay. And
plus all of this, the movie stars. Don't forget the movie stars.
Not so much. The big Coke bottle
in
the outfield.
I'd like to go to San Diego just to, you know, go to the zoo.
Oh, that would be interesting.
Yeah. You know, see San Diego.
Just to go to San Diego. I mean, the Padres play here?
right.
Okay, and just for a little bit of fun here, Scott, you can't answer this because I know you know the answer, but I'm going to throw a trivia question at you, too.
I'm really bad at baseball trivia.
Well, this one's a little different.
Adam.
42.
There you go.
What two people are in the Baseball Hall of Fame who were not a player, were not a manager, were not an owner, and a broadcaster, in no way associated with Major League Baseball?
There are people that were not associated with Major League Baseball.
There's two people in the Baseball Hall of Fame, officially,
mm-hmm.
who were no way associated with Major League Baseball that's in the Baseball Hall of Fame. Hmm. Do you know who they are?
No, I can't even begin to guess. I mean, not in any way associated.
Was it after 2000?
No.
Okay, no. I give up. That's pretty much what we...
Okay.
Actually, what I tell you, it's going to be very obvious and then weird to throw away.
I doubt that.
Yeah.
Abbott and Costello for who's on first.
Oh, that's lame.
Yeah. When you find the answer, yeah, exactly. When you get the answer out.
I know what you're going to say.
It's not even their routine.
Right. It's not their routine
right.
at the time. You know,
everyone did.
All the
everyone
did. Comedians yeah. did the that routine.
Well, they made they're the ones that got exposure for it, I guess, yeah. or made it famous or whatever. Right. They did it pretty well. Don't take you know, no one.
No,
they did a good job.
They were, yeah, like, exactly right.
It's not like they wrote it or anything.
No, no, yeah, exactly right. So,
how many bloggers in the hall? None.
Yes.
That'd be interesting. So who would be the first blogger to be in the Baseball Hall of Fame? That would be
right.
Will Leach.
That's when basically the whole internet new media would totally take over. Yes.
Right. Right.
Yeah. That's all my silly questions. Unless you guys want to throw something in, I'll totally leave this open for free talk if anybody wants to throw anything in.
Nope. I really don't have much.
It's my co-host for you, folks. I kind of feel like Bob Uecker in that Major League movie. Yeah, you know, right. That's why he's one of the best in the game, folks.
That's right.
What about your relationship with the official team? Do you talk to people on the team? Do you have it in with public?
We tried last year's Fan Fest. We tried to make some contacts, mm-hmm. and we actually talked to one of the marketing guys, and we even told him, said, "Look, we're not even asking for tickets, okay?
Yeah.
we made it perfectly clear. But if you drop us an email and say, hey, we got this going on, we'll tell people about it. I mean, if you want to use us to, you know, if you got a promotion coming or something going on, just let us know." The marketing guy goes, "Oh, that'd be really cool. Let me check on it and I'll get back with you." Never heard from him again.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That sounds really familiar.
Yes. we didn't make the Fan Fest this year, but last year we did make quite a few content because, I mean, it's very open. Anybody can go in and mm-hmm. they actually have a couple of like press tent type of things where, you know, the manager will come out and talk. The owner will come out and talk. We actually did get to talk to them, and we do actually have a couple of interviews with like the old manager that we talked to. Now he's not there, of course. Old, what do you call, CEO, general manager, whatever. The owner is very, very approachable and friendly. There's a reason he's called Uncle Drayden. I mean, he's there all the time. Some people say he's a little too hands-on, whatever, but he's very approachable. You can go up to him, talk to him. So
well, he actually will leave. He will leave his box and walk around the stadium and talk to people right. during games.
Yeah. So it's great. Yeah. But other than that, I mean, we'll go to Astros.com. We'll pull some of their articles, you know, to see what's going on. I can't think of her name right now, but she was very, very friendly.
Oh, Allison Footer.
Allison Footer. She writes for the Astros through, you know, kind of through MLB.com. Right. She writes for them. So she was out there. So we did talk to her and stuff. So we made some contacts, but a lot of it was just kind of, you know, giving it a try. We didn't expect much because podcasting, you know, they really don't consider it anything serious yet.
But if they saw our download numbers.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Or if they heard some of your calls to the call-in line.
Yeah.
Oh.
Right. Give that number.
God.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. Well, actually, that's what we ought to do. We ought to give our voicemail line. Tell them to contact us on the voicemail line.
There you go. Yeah.
Exactly. That would be awesome. You could play videos from the general manager.
Right.
Or
encourage him to drunk dial you.
Yeah, yeah.
Or be like the St. Louis official talk show radio host who throws the Cardinals pitching coach on the air without telling him.
Oh wow!
Did you hear about that?
No, I didn't.
No,
he got fired.
Okay, good.
Yeah, he called up the
Dave Duncan.
Dave Duncan and he didn't tell him he was on the air.
Can I get you to talk about so and so? Yeah, Dave, no, I'm not going to talk to you.
Dave Duncan's like, you're a bad man. I'm not going to talk to you on the air.
Right.
And then
right.
But he had him on the air all along. But wow. I was surprised that they fired him because I thought it was exactly the sort of stunt they might be on board with after
right.
the whole
yeah.
thing where they cut out the Cardinals from the billboards a couple years ago.
That's
acted that like funny. It was an act of vandalism.
Oh,
there's these big billboards on the radio station. It was because they were changing the official radio station of
right.
the team.
Oh, okay.
From like a big several thousand water to a local podunk station.
That yeah. really reaching okay. So they took the billboards that had been the Cardinals billboards for the radio station and cut out the Cardinals and pretended like it was an act of vandalism. And so like a couple of like bloggers got on the like, "This is horrible. You know, we need to find out who did this." And then it turns out to be a marketing stunt.
Right.
But then the Cardinals show up again on a different radio station's billboards. And it's just, exactly the caliber of, you know, it gave you an idea for the caliber
yeah,
of the,
yeah.
the radio program that they had going on there in St. Louis.
Actually, that does kind of, in a way, remind me of a topic I thought. What do you guys think about the fact that if the San Francisco scene, which has changed many names, they've taken everything associated with Barry Bonds out of the stadium? I mean, if you walk into that stadium, there's no evidence that Barry Bonds was ever a Giant.
You know, I thought this entire season we would not bring up his name.
No, okay, fine. Sue me.
It's got to happen. Well, you know.
What do y'all think about that? I mean, anybody listening to the show knows I can't stand Barry Bonds. So yeah. If it wasn't for Barry Bonds, that stadium would never have been built.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah. Well, we're talking to a couple of Reds fans. And if there's a city that's associated with a team that's associated with disgrace anymore than with Barry Bonds, it's the Reds. And, you know, the Reds are always trying to find ways to sneak in Pete Rose references.
Right.
Right. There's
allowed to officially do anything.
Right. Right.
But outside of the stadium, there's actually a Rose Garden that's at the spot of where his hit number 4192 landed.
Oh, okay.
So there's just a rose garden there all year long. So they do things like that. There's
right.
on the back of the stadium.
For that.
There's on the back of the stadium. There's a giant picture of a bat and ball that was one of his that he hit some famous. And might have been his hitting streak with.
Right,
so
right.
I can't remember, official.
But yeah, it's nothing explicit, but it's kind of subtle. Like, yeah, Pete was here. He was a really good player.
So that's probably the same thing where they'll have the backlash. Of course, they're going to have the initial backlash and the disapproval has to come with that. But probably they will. Eventually come around.
Yeah.
It's not like Bonds was banned from baseball.
Right.
Yet.
Yes. Right. Well, no team wants to pick him up, though.
It's collusion. He's sitting on the bench. I told you.
Right.
Oh, my gosh. Can you imagine? Oh, my gosh.
Well, seriously, if you were an owner, would you sign him?
All right. I don't know. It's like trading for Miguel Tejada or something.
Yeah. Ooh.
Ooh, ouch. But the report came out afterwards.
Right.
Like, the day after. Right, yeah.
We didn't know anything about him.
No way to know that.
Yeah. We didn't know anything about him until afterwards.
Actually, you know, one thing that's kind of sad about that? Drayton McClain came out like a day or two later, and he actually came out and said, we knew nothing about his name being on the Mitchell report. Drayton may be many things, but one thing he's never struck me as is a liar. So I believe Drayton didn't know. But if you're going to tell me that Ed Wade, our general manager, didn't know,
right?
I'm sorry. I'm not going to buy that.
Right.
I don't have
because that trade would never have happened the day after that Mitchell report.
Oh, no.
So. Got to get that done quick.
Right. Mm-hmm.
What about, I think that they're signing Bonds would be a great boon to your attendance, if only because it would draw everyone who wanted to, you know, boo him and yell at him.
Oh, I'd go to every game,
Yeah, that's one thing. It's like, there's so many teams that could use a little boost in attendance. Why can't they go just sign Bonds?
Just sign
him
until he gets thrown into jail or whatever.
I think the Yankees should just sign him, you know, just because.
Why not?
I think the Pirates should welcome him back.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That could be, yeah.
That would be interesting. Maybe they could get Jimmy Lean over back there, too.
Maybe that's the one piece the Pirates need to really take the division.
There you go.
Like, they're only one player away.
That's right.
Yeah. That's true.
Oh, speaking of Jimmy Lean, what about Detroit's wonderful start?
Have they won a game yet?
Yes, they did yesterday, last night. They're 1-7 now.
Yes.
Well, you know,
with the third highest payroll.
Casey's no longer with the team, so there's the problem right there.
Well, you know, the funny thing is if you go back two seasons ago, or maybe three seasons ago when Garner was still there, if you remember, he actually got fired after the first week because he started 0-7. And so they're talking about that. What do you do with Leland now? Because he started out 0-7. So.
0-7. Ouch.
That hurts, but it's still so early.
Well, they have a huge payroll. They're the third, you know.
Yeah, they're behind the Mets and the Yankees. I mean, they're even ahead of the Red Sox, believe it or not.
Wow. Yeah.
They still have Dimitri Young on the...
No, he's with the Nationals, of course.
Well, there's your problem. No Sean Casey, no Dimitri Young.
Yeah.
That's right. Dimitri Young is with the Nationals. Man, the Nationals, what a...
So are you saying if you trade players or give players up to the Nationals, you suddenly start somehow?
If the Reds have a lot of experience with that. If your players end up at the Nationals, you are the Reds. Jim Bowden has a thing for the ex-Reds.
Should we change the names here from the Cincinnati Nationals and the Washington Reds? Is that what you're saying here?
Right.
It would.
Well, the colors still match, right?
It would make sense. It would make some sense, without a doubt.
That's where Olmedo ended up, by the way.
Little Ray.
Yeah, he's on the Nationals AAA team, being the up the middle tandem with Brett Boone.
No kidding. A couple of X-Reds right there. That's probably pretty strong. Wow. I don't know about Brett Boone.
It would have been.
Brett Boone in his steroids days, yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess Nationals, all they have to do now is hire one of your all's ex-managers.
Well, we got plenty of those.
That's for darn sure. What was the count earlier? 6 in 3 years? Is that what it was?
There's been so many. It's incredible. And if you put any stock into the idea that a managerial consistency is important for a team, that's definitely something that the Reds are lacking, and they wonder they haven't gone anywhere.
Right.
You know, I'm no Dusty Baker fan without and that's obvious.
Anyone here is, unless Johnny is.
he wears a mean cowl attached to the back of his baseball cap.
He does wear a cowl attached.
Does he really?
In spring training, I haven't seen him during the season.
That was new to me.
But I do have to give him credit for not overpitching the young pitchers, though. The crazy trying to have Edwin Encarnacion put down a bunt in game two.
I can't. Is that two or three?
Two or three. Edwin Encarnacion, who had one career bunt.
No, he had no
point. Zero career bunts to that point.
He's a cleanup hitter.
He's a young guy.
Don't ask them to bunt.
He's sensitive, and Dusty Baker sends him up there and tells him to lay one down, which was stupid because he was playing for one run and the Reds were behind by two.
Yeah.
So there's two guys on, and he tells him to lay down a bunt. The Reds are like,
what?
What?
I know. Yep. It was insane, and so they finally take off the bunt, and Eddie hits a homer.
Oh, there you go.
It worked out all right, but it's like,
what it was getting
to forget.
What it was brilliant move by Dusty because he wanted to put the other team in a false sense of security.
Yeah. Right.
And then the next pitch, he would admit to knock it out. It was all a clever plan.
Yeah, it was all planned. Yeah.
Actually, I believe that's what he wanted you to think.
He said something like that. He's like, yeah, I'm going to have him bunt, and then he's going to hit a home run.
Yeah.
Really? You said this to someone in the dugout? They didn't slap you?
Dusty.
That's all we need. Someone just slap Dusty Baker. Like,
we should make it a flash game on Red Hot Mama.
There you go. Little bobblehead of Dusty Baker with the hand in front of it. Just gonna.
They will be giving them away. The Reds love their bobbleheads.
There you go.
What about attendance? How's attendance looking at Minute Maid?
Been pretty good.
Pretty good, actually. Yeah.
I mean, I was surprised that we were there for the opening series, and it didn't seem like it was full the second and third games when we were there.
Yeah, Houston has a problem because people work downtown, so they want to get out of downtown, so they want to stay here for the game. So a lot of times, unless it's an afternoon game, or if they do some sort of businessman special, or they invite, you know, some sort of promotional thing, which they were doing, apparently, opening week they're doing promotions. You'll see it fill up, and then people will leave in the fourth, fifth. You know, you'll actually fill up early, and then it'll trickle away towards the end of the game, you know, kind of middle of the game, which is kind of strange. It goes the other way, you know. Mm-hmm. First few innings are kind of empty, and then it fills up. But it being such a – even though it's a small stadium, I think it's, what, 43,000, 42,000?
42,000.
42,000. Attendance has been really, really good for a team that's kind of bouncing up and, you know, kind of erratically bouncing up and down.
Oh, yeah.
I won't say we're like having a bunch of major sellouts like the Cubs do, but it seems like we're consistent pretty much all year.
We're in probably the mid 30s on average. I mean, it's not like, you know, we're in the low 40s or high 30s. And it depends. You know, mm-hmm. This season we're about to have two teams come in that have never played at Minute Maid. Ever. It's the Yankees and the Red Sox.
Oh, boy.
And, yeah, those will sell out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we'll bring in fans.
Yeah.
Have they done the thing where they charge more for those games?
Oh, yeah.
Good. I'd love to see that.
Wait, do you have some sort of special kickback from that? Or?
It's just good business.
Well, of course it is. Yeah.
Well, this is Uncle Drayton. Any kind of extra dollar that he could squeeze, he's going to do it. Trust me.
Right. So, yeah. But other than that, I mean, the St. Louis will draw a good crowd because there are actually quite a few St. Louis fans in Houston.
Well, there's another weird kind of reason for that to a certain extent, too, was that before the Astros actually started, Houston was the AAA ball club for the St. Louis Cardinals.
Right.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, that's why. Yeah. So Cubs will always draw a lot. Not because there's a lot of Cubs fans, just because people hate the Cubs. You know, that's just expected. So
hate them.
Yeah,
that's how it goes.
Right. So, anything else?
That's all I had on my book.
Yeah, we're coming up on the hour pretty good too. So I think we're pretty slow.
Time flies when you're having fun,
just
folks.
Blathering on for an hour.
Yeah,
no problem.
No problem. Oh,
we could do that really easily.
We can do that really easily when we get on a roll. Oh yeah. So,
well,
all right.
Hang in there, and we'll see you at the ballpark.
Well, thanks, folks. This was the first joint podcast from Red Hot Mama and Astrocast. I am Lambo, and thank you for listening.
Let us know what you think about the podcast at iTunes, and share your thoughts about the humorous NL Central on the blog at red-hot-mava.com or on our comment line at 206-600-1734. That's 206-600-1734.
Winter's been good, but he can't last. Hurry, baseball, hurry fast.
I am tired, but in the place. In past 9 o'clock, but I'm so late. If you tell me to go to sleep, I'll do what you're a beep.
He can hardly stand the wait. Please, baseball, don't end late.
So I am really tired now. I'm on vacation. It's 10 o'clock now. My bedtime on vacation is 9 o'clock. It's past my bedtime now. I am so tired at the baseball game. Please, baseball game, don't end late.